Think back to your high school years and tell me if this sounds familiar. There are two sections of biology, and everyone always wants to be in Teacher X's class. That's because Teacher Y's class is a lot harder. She does lots of labs, lots of write-ups, and she asks a lot from her students. Teacher X gives mostly multiple-choice tests and always has an extra credit section with questions like, who won the Patriots game this weekend? Or, what's my dog's name? A 95 in biology from the easy teacher is a lot different from a 95 from the more difficult class, but in the end, both grades look the same on a transcript. And that inequality is what Spalding High School is trying to get away from.
Competencies really are pretty straightforward when we think about it. We're telling students this is the course and this is what you need to learn in that course during the year.
That's Rochester's superintendent, Mike Hopkins. He's leading Spalding's move to something called competency-based learning. Under this model, teachers in every department agree that for each class there are skills they want students to have when they finish the course. Then they explicitly tell the kids what these competencies are, and they gear all their teaching towards learning those core skills. Hopkins says when he was an assistant basketball coach, that was just called good coaching.
And the head coach told the players, you know, we're not going to do a drill that doesn't get us better at some skill. And I can remember a drill started and a student said, why are we doing this? What skill? The coach didn't know, so they stopped doing that skill. And that's what we have to get to in the classroom, is that we shouldn't be doing things that aren't heading towards those competencies.
Taking a walk down the hallway to Lauren Colanto's Spanish class gives an idea what this looks like in practice. Students mill around, writing past participles and getting classmates to sign off on them, saying they're correct. Colanto says since they began the new system this year, she doesn't even grade work like this. She just uses it like a basketball drill to see how the students are developing their skills.
If I keep looking and there's mistakes, I'll look to see who's signing off on it, who's saying it's okay. And then if I see a student who's had a lot of erase marks, and the good thing about something like this is it's so easy to look at and give a quick feedback. So it'll just literally be for me to see, okay, do we know how to make the past participle? And then in a perfect world tomorrow, when I think they're all there, we'll be able to actually use it in Spanish.
The kids hustle around the classroom, conjugating verb infinitives, practicing their dribble. Watching her, Colanto is clearly an ace teacher. That's why the administration made her and other ace teachers from other departments competency coaches. They collaborate with teachers who perhaps struggle with letting go of the way things were when they were students.
So why don't we take off coordinate plane here?
That brings us here to a work session for math teachers. They're deciding how to grade each competency.
We don't use any numbers for our grading right now, so it's NYCC, B or A.
You just heard math teacher John Dukowski, and you heard right, the number grades are gone. The new grades stand for advanced, beyond competent, competent, not yet competent, and insufficient work submitted. And though the A, B, and C sound familiar, they aren't really equivalent to the A, Bs, and Cs of the past. Dukowski explains that the idea is if you basically get a concept and you can show that, you get a C. But
for the higher level, the A's and the B's, you want to really make sure they understand it and can analyze it and can describe it and write about it.
The system also gives teachers more flexibility in how they grade students. For example, students who were failing during the first half of the semester, but then really boned up and got themselves to a B level, can still get a B. Teachers aren't forced to use the average of the grades. They can give students grades that represent the level of understanding they've achieved. That means students never have an excuse to give up, saying, well, my average is so low that mathematically I can't pass. That's a big change. And for some of Spalding's teachers, like math teacher Mike O'Brien, it's a tough one.
It takes something from a math teacher perspective that's very objective and makes it subjective, which is certainly taking teachers in general and math teachers more specifically out of their comfort zone of being able to assess.
In the old system, if a teacher was given a 10-point quiz, it's either right, it's wrong, and they get a point if it's right, they don't get a point if it's wrong. You're right. It's easy to give a number to that.
Rob Seward is Spalding's principal and has been spearheading the change.
But my question would be is what level of knowledge is that understanding? That simple recall understanding.
Seward says the transition to competency-based instruction meant taking a hard look at what grades were really measuring. He says before, things that didn't have anything to do with how good a student was at math or English were part of the grade, like participation and behavior. Those pieces are now part of a separate professionalism score. And more to the point, what really is the difference between a 79 and an 82 on a social studies paper?
Right? Everybody wants the B. So how did I not get the B? What was that thing that kept me from getting the B? I could explain to them in language why they were not at a B level for myself. What I couldn't do to the person was say, why was it the 84 instead of the 85?
But finally, Seward says, what does it mean if you get 100 very basic multiple choice questions right? That still only tells a teacher that you have a basic understanding. So switching to competencies has led Spalding to reconsider everything about the way it tests and evaluates students. The school is focusing on trying to get all teachers to test students in ways that really stretch them and tease out how deeply the students understand the material. Achieving changes like that in every classroom sounds, well, unlikely.
Have we changed? Is it 100% competency-based? Are there people still working kind of in hybrids between the old and the new? Has everybody completed this? The answer is no. I mean, this is a long-term shift. It's a big shift. It's like an aircraft carrier trying to make a turn.
And consider that the entire Rochester School District, with its 8 elementary schools and 2 middle schools, is going through this same change in 2013. Seward says that's like a super carrier trying to turn. And just as it would be hard to tell what's happening from the deck of a boat that size, it's not always obvious if big changes are underway or if you're just steaming along like before. Senior Alex Clark, back in Senora Colanto's class, says he's really only noticed the new grades.
I guess the biggest thing about the new grading system is it's a lot less competitive. Like, instead of, like, if you got a 99 and I got a 98, you're clearly doing better than me.
But when you pull back, out beyond Spalding and Rochester, to the whole state of New Hampshire, you start to see the big picture. Since 2005, New Hampshire has required schools to develop competency-based learning. According to Paul Leather of the New Hampshire Department of Education, that makes us a forerunner. He says because of the state's tradition of local control, schools have been allowed to implement this change however they see fit, making the state like the nation's test lab for competency-based learning.
One school might not look like another school in New Hampshire. We have a number of schools that have some excellent examples of how they're doing competency education in a deep way.
Leather says some other schools have made changes in name only, and it's really just business as usual there. But even so, other states are taking notice. An interstate education compact voted unanimously this year to grant New Hampshire a national award for state innovation in education, partly for its work with competency.
Like the oral exam. Una entrevista de una
vez. Of course, at Spalding and other New Hampshire schools, the awards don't really matter. They're in the trenches, just trying to make sure as many kids as possible are learning as much as possible. For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.
I mean, are there upperclassmen in this class?